Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Kisetze, and we begin on page 1046. So, Kisetze lemelchama loyvecha, when you go out to war against your enemies, u'resarei Hashem elokecha biyadecha, and Hashem will give the enemy into your hands, v'shavisa shivgei, and you will take captives. And the rest of the sukkim then talk about how then amongst the captives, you see this beautiful woman. You desire her. The Torah goes through the whole process of what is done in this situation. What I want to focus on right now is on the first pasuk, on the words "Ki tzeitzel melchama loyvecha." When you go out to war against your enemy, when Hashanah Hashem alekecha biyadecha, Hashem will give you the enemy into your hands. And I want to share with you the comment of the Aruch Chaim. The Aruch Chaim has what he calls "Bederech Remez." Remez means hint. Remez means a meaning that's not the obvious meaning of the psukim, but a more kind of hidden interpretation. And the Aruch Chaim explains that this part, he goes through this whole section in this, you know, the way he wants to explain it, but I'm just going to focus on the first couple of things that he says. And that is that he says that when you talk about the creation, the construction, and the existence of the world, toloi b'ma'ase am b'nei Yisrael. The world's existence depends on the actions of the Jewish people. If they improve their ways, the world then is able to exist, or the world exists in its proper way. The heavens rejoice, and the land and the land is jubilant. So too Hashem our God rejoices with us. The Yosher Darkam Shal Yisrael and the righteousness of the ways of the Jewish people. What is the key to the Jewish people's success? What is the key to the Jewish people doing the right thing and thus establishing the world in its proper form? It's Nitzachan Yetzahara, being victorious over the evil inclination. That is what is necessary. Nitzachan Yetzahara, the being victorious over the evil inclination. Okay? And therefore, Uba Kasev Lohayer Ha'adam, and now the Pasuk is now coming to teach us, Ki Biyatzei Me Oilam Ha'elyon Levoi Lo'ilam Hazeh, that when a person's neshama leaves the upper worlds and enters this world, he's got to be ready to wage war. No one should think that you don't need extra strength. No one should think that you don't need to be strong to be victorious in this matter. Because of this, because of the struggles, overcoming the Yetzer Hara, the inclination, the term for that has to be melchama, war. That's how you have to look at it. Struggling with the evil inclination has to be seen as a war. Al derech amram, following the way our sages say in Pirkei Avos, ezehu gibar, who is considered mighty, who is a mighty warrior, hakovish yitzrei, one who overcomes, one who conquers his inclination. She'ein gedud, gevura gedula mizu, there is no greater manifestation of strength more than this. So what the Aruch Chaim is saying is that the derech remez, the hidden, a homiletical interpretation to what's happening is kiseitze lemelchama. Kiseitze, when you go out, when you leave, when you go out from the upper world, when your neshama leaves the world of neshamas and enters this world, you have to realize you are going out lemelchama for a war. If you want to be able to succeed in life, if you want to be able to bring joy to Hashem, if you want to bring joy to Hashem by keeping His world in a state that it should be in through doing what's right, in order to do that, you've got to be ready to deal with the Yetzer Hara, the inclination, and you have to deal with him as a war. It takes a lot of strength, takes a lot of effort, and that's what we have to bear in mind. We have to bear in mind that dealing with Yetzer Hara is clearly not a very easy thing. It's a melchama, it's a battle. And then the Aruch Chaim says, and therefore, if you look back in the pasuk, it says, Kiseitzei la melchama, when you go out to war. Now, it could say le milchama, with a shva, to war. It says la milchama with a patach, with a ah. La milchama has a connotation of the war, the special war. not just any war, the war. And there, and what's that? So that's Kisei Yetzer Lamelchama. When you go out, it'll be for that special war, the war with the Yetzer Hara. Now, then he continues, that's Kisei Yetzer Lamelchama. That's what the Pasuk means when it says when you go out to battle. Al Oyevecha, on your enemy. Balahoyer. Here the Pasuk is teaching us, Kiloy Melchama Zu Kigibra Haloichem Lilchoyir. The battle that we are talking about is not analogous to someone who is trying to, a warrior is trying to capture a city. Ukshayatzba Melchama, and if he gets tired of waging war, it's not going the way he wants. Yif Neveyevach Latzmai. So he goes away and goes back to what he was doing before. That's not the kind of war we're talking about. Elokadam Haloichem Im Oivai. We're talking about a war with an enemy. She'im Yisrashel. That if you become lax, if you let down your guard, yokam elavahiko, what's going to happen then is that your enemy is now going to come up on you and beat you down. So too, if a person will be weak, will be lax in fighting the enemy of the Yetzer Hara, yokam elavahiko min ha'olam, he'll arise against him and destroy him from the world. So that's al oyevecha, on your enemy. You have to see this war, not just as a war of trying to capture someone. Because a war that you're trying to capture a city, if you're tired of doing it, you go home and it's all over. And no one's coming after you. You have to look to Yetzer Hara as an enemy. If you let your guard down, he's coming after you. That's how you have to see it. Okay. V'maftichai ha-kosev, but the Pasuk promises, shagam shatakefu ha-yetzer mekoyach hanushi, that although the Yetzer Hara is stronger than a person's natural capability, natural powers, aval pika yiner Hashem b'yadai, even so Hashem will give the Yetzer Hara into a man, to a person's hand. That's what it means. V'nesanoi Hashem elokecha b'yadecha. Hashem, your God, will give him into your hands. You put up the fight. You try your best to put up the fight. Although naturally you don't really have the ability to overcome the onslaught of the Yetzer Hara, Hashem will give him in your hand. He will help you win the battle. So the rest of the pasuk of you're going out toward the Yetzer Hara, Alei Vecha, he's your enemy, but know that as powerful as he is, Hashem, your God, will give him into your hand. That's how the Arachayim has this Derech Remez, this homiletic interpretation to the pasuk. Now, I want to mention to you a story that I've always found very beautiful. Rav Sholem Shvadron was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, and he was a Maggid. He was a famous speaker. And in his youth, and when he was young, in the early days of the state, Rav Shvadron was one of the early outreach professionals. Because in his day, in his time already, there were many young Jews who were really not coming from very religious homes, very observant homes. And he and a group of his friends used to basically have classes for them to teach them Torah, teach them Yiddishkeit. And there was one student that kept missing class. I don't know if it was Shabbos, I don't remember all the details, but he kept missing class. And Rav Shvadron decided on the day that he knew the student was going to miss class, he's going to go to the student's home and see if everything's all right. So he comes to the house, student opens the door, his teacher is standing there, he's going to take him back. And Shvadron says to him, I've noticed that you haven't been in my class. Is everything okay? So the boy's a bit uncomfortable, explaining himself. Finally, he says, Rebbe, I had to watch the soccer game. The soccer games are being played today. I had to watch the soccer game. Now, Shvadron knew what soccer was, but he feigned ignorance. And he said, soccer? Lemaze soccer? What is that? So the student was very excited to speak to his Rebbe about soccer. He starts explaining, you've got two teams, and you've got the ball, and you kick the ball, and each team is trying to get in the way of the other team and trying to get the ball. And at each end of the field, there are two goals, and there's a goalie, meaning someone in front of the goal that when the ball is coming towards the net, that he blocks it, so that a ball shouldn't go into the net. So Shvadron says to him, I don't understand. If the goalie wasn't there, you'd be able to get the ball in net. You'll get the ball in the net so many more times and score so many more points. So the boy says to him, yeah, but if there's no goalie and there's no challenge, then what's the point? So Shadron said to him, think about what you just said. You know, if there's no challenge, there's no point. If there's no challenge to your study of Torah, then it doesn't count as much. It's not as valuable. And the boy went back to share. The boy went back to class. But the story brings out a very important point, and it's a very basic point, and that is that if we don't have challenges in life, then we don't. Then what we do doesn't really count. And therefore, we have to understand that dealing with the Yetzer Hara is a war. But as a war, shouldn't be a reason to be discouraging. In the sense, or rather, it should be seen as the challenge by which what we do gains value. There is a story in the Gemara Baba Metzia. It's Baba Metzia, Daf Pei Dalet, I think. Oh, Pei Ches Amar Alef. The Torah talks about the two sages who, when you learn Gemara, they come together all the time. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. All the time. They're actually brothers-in-law. And the story talks about, the Gemara talks about that Reish Lakish passed away. And when Reish Lakish passed away, Rabbi Yochanan lost his chavrusi, lost his study partner. So the sages said, you know, we've got to find Rabbi Yochanan a new study partner. So they took another one of the sages, I don't remember the name right now, and they sat him down in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan would learn with him, and this other sage would respond. So every time Rabbi Yochanan offered a thought, this new partner would say, I can prove what you said from here, I can prove what you said from there, and everything Rabbi Yochanan said to him, he said, I can prove it. So Reish Lakish said, you're like Reish Lakish? When I would learn at Reish Lakish, I would say something. He'd ask tons of questions on what I said. I'd have to answer. I think the Gemara says he'd ask 24 questions. I'd have to answer 24 answers. And after it's all said and done, the whole subject we were studying became so much broader and clearer. And you tell me proofs that I'm right. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan was totally distraught, and he just kept walking around and crying, Reish Lakish, where are you? Where are you? The Gemara says, until the point that he went out of his mind. And at that point, the Gemara says, the other sages prayed, and he died. The Gemara says, they prayed, and he died. So the question that comes right away is, why did they have to pray that he should die? They should pray that he should get well. The answer is, the dinner wasn't going to help. He's going to get well. He's still not going to have Reish Lakish, and it's going to just happen again. Now, when you talk about learning, we understand very well that when you're challenged, right, you've got to think it through, you've got to answer the questions. In studying, the more you're challenged, the more questions are asked to you, the more you get to really understand what you're doing. But the truth is that anytime we're challenged, it's not just the learning, anytime we're challenged, overcoming that challenge, dealing that challenge, is actually an opportunity. It's an opportunity to learn something. You can learn from your mistakes. You can learn from how you overcome the faults that you have. And by overcoming the challenge, you become a different person. If it's just, you know, you go back and forth, you stay the same. But when you face a challenge and you overcome the challenge, you become a different person. And as the most important thing to bear in mind when dealing with what the Aruch Chaim calls the bow with the Yetzer Hara, what we now in the time of Elul call doing tshuva, the most important things to bear in mind is what the Aruch Chaim explains, the part of the pasuk that says, and Hashem will give the enemy into your hand. Most important thing to realize is that Hashem helps us overcome the Yetzer Hara. Is that Hashem helps us to deal with the challenges, to overcome the Yetzer Hara, to do tshuva. He helps us with that. And the just want to read to you from the Shari Tshuva, from the Sefer, the Gates of Repentance, from Rabbeinu Yonah. He writes, V'isbara b'Torah, and it's clear in the Torah, Ki yazar Hashem lashavim, that Hashem aids those who repent. Even when they naturally don't have the ability to reach the level that they're striving for. And he will awaken within them a spirit of purity, to attain, to reach the level of loving Hashem. So this all lies in this pasuk. You're going out to war. It's a war. It's a struggle. It's a challenge. And Hashem will help you. If you put up the challenge, you do your best, you can put your trust in Hashem that Hashem will help you overcome and be able to overcome Yetzer Hara, to correct what you've done wrong, and to do tshuva. Okay, let's now move on to Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Aleph, which is page 1048. Here again, we're going to go through. Let's going to read through a number. We're going to read through a number of pesukim, and again, I'm going to share with you another thought from the Aruch Hayyim, how he interprets this again b'derech remez in a homiletical way. Let's first read. Lo sira esharachi chayseyani lachim. You shall not see the ox of your brother or his lamb sheep that are lost. V'salamta mehem, and you hide yourself from them. Hashav to Shivem la'achicha, you shall surely return them to your brother. V'imloi karav achicha elecha v'lo yidatoi, and if your brother is not close to you and you don't know him, v'asafte al teich b'isecha, you shall gather it into your house, v'aya imcha, and it shall be with you, adereish achicha isai, until your brother searches for it, v'ashevay salai, and then you shall return it to him. V'chein ta'atza l'chamayre, so shall you do for his donkey, v'chein ta'atza l'simlasai, so shall you do for his garment. V'chein ta'atza l'chalaveda sachicha, so shall you do for anything lost of your brother. Asher toivad mimenu metzasa, that will be lost from him and you'll find it. V'esucha l'is'alem, you are not permitted to hide yourself. This is the mitzvah that we call hasharas aveda, returning a lost object. Next pasuk. Lo'isira es chamar achicha, you shall not see the donkey of your brother, or his ox, neif lemaderech, fallen on the road, v'salamta mehem, and you hide yourself from them, hakem takem imai, you shall surely stand it up with him. This is talking about, you pass by a person, his animal has fallen, he needs help to pick it up, you have the mitzvah to help him pick it up. So now I want to share with you, as I said, the Aruch Hayyim here too has another derech remez explanation. And just want to share with you a couple of thoughts that he says, because again, it brings out some very important points when it comes to, again, the battle with the Yetzer Hara and doing tshuva. So he says like this. When it says, Loisira esharachicha ayaseyani dachim, you shall not see the ox of your brother or his lamb lost, we're talking about in a spiritual sense. The ox, the lamb, refers to the Jewish people. Your brother, interestingly, he interprets that as referring to Hashem. That's a, he says in a different place that for tzaddikim, there is this level in which there's a certain level that they're like brothers to Hashem. So he says, the achicha here, again, this is all derech remez, the achicha, your brother here, means Hashem. So you shall not see the ox of your brother. You know, people, we find psukim that people are compared to animals. At the same time, we also call it seh, a lamb. Seh kutshim, a lamb, an animal sanctified for a carbon. You shall not see the ox or the lamb of your brother being lost, and you ignore it. Hashev teshiveim l'achicha. You shall make sure to return them to your brother. When they are being lost from Hashem, you have to make sure that you bring them back to Hashem. If your brother is not close to you and you don't know him, that, says the Aruch Hayyim, is talking about Golus. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, especially the second Beis HaMikdash, we're in Golus for such a long time, that is a great cause for people to stray away from the path of Torah. Because the farther we are from our connection to Hashem through the Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael, the harder it is to stay close to him. So, v'im lo'ikarev achicha ilecha, if your brother is not close to you, means that The time of redemption, the time of getting back together with Hashem, it's far. He's far away. You don't know him, or you don't know it, means you don't know when it's going to end. You have a galus and you don't know when it's going to end. So what do you do then? You don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and Eretz Yisrael, you don't have closeness to Hashem to bring him back to. What do you do then? The answer is, V'asaftoi al teich beisecha. You shall gather him into your house. What is your house? What's your house? Your house is the Beis HaMikdash. You shall gather him into your house. V'haya imecha, and I'll be with you, adereish achicha isai, until your brother asks for him, until your brother wants, says it's time he can come back. And you will return it to him. Because of what you've done, when the time comes for Hashem to take him back, you get the credit for bringing him back. Because you brought him into your house and you taught him Torah. And just read to you the words of the Aruch Hayim. You should gather him into your house. This is referring to the place of study. You'll teach him the ways of life and the path by which the light rests. So that he will not stray away from the path. And the enemy will not find him with corrupt plans and enticements. Because the light of Torah tatzileu, that will save him. So when you don't, how is it you're going to bring back Hashem's sheep, Hashem's lamb, without a Beis HaMikdash? Without the Shekhinah, the answer is through Torah. The light of Torah is what's going to save him and bring him back to the point that Hashem will take him back, and you will be the one that gets the credit for bringing him back. Now, that's how he explains. I'm not going to go through all the details how he goes through the whole Pasuk about Hashem HaSaveda, but I want to tell you now how he takes this approach into Pasuk Dalet that said, Leisiras chamarachi chayshari neflim aderech. You shall not see again the donkey of your brother or his ox fallen on the way. Again, here we're talking about the person who's like a chamar, like a shar. Person is not doing too well. But it's again, it's the animal, it's the chamar, it's the shar of your brother, of Hashem. Okay, you see them neiflim maderech, you see them fallen. V'salam tamehem. And you say to yourself, I'm gonna ignore it. I'm not gonna get involved. Hakem tokem ima, you shall surely raise up with him. Neiflim maderech says darachaya means that a person might think when he's trying to bring a person back to Torah that, okay, I understand he's fallen into sin, he's in a lot of trouble, but you know, you see hope. You see there's hope for him. But then there's the person that's neiflim maderech. He's hit rock bottom. It doesn't appear like there's any hope for this person. Hope. He's hit rock bottom. It doesn't make any sense to say he's going to turn around. V'salamta mehem. So you're going to decide and say to yourself, so I don't have to take care of this person. There's no mitzvah of teichach. There's no mitzvah of you can bringing him back in this state. No. Hakim tokim imai. You shall raise him up. You cannot ignore him. Just because he's hit rock bottom and it doesn't look like he really has a chance to get up, you have to lift him up. But as the pasuk says, imai, you lift up with him. Halachically, that means that in the situation where the animal falls down and you're going to help the person lift the animal back up, if this person says, you know what, I'm just going to take a rest and you do it, then you don't have a mitzvah. You got to do it with him. Here too, says the Chaim, very interestingly, Dafka mumisayeb devbedavar shereitz aloshev. You have to raise up with him. He's got to have some kind of involvement. He's got to be doing something also. Meaning, he has to want to repent. You know, there are people who say, I want to repent, right? But you look at it and you say, I don't see it happening. Okay, if he wants to repent, that's where the mitzvah is, Hakim Tokim. No matter how far he has fallen, if you see that he wants to come back, he wants to change, you got to help him. But if he falls, he's not interested in rising up. He shows no interest. Patarata. Then you're exempt. Shezeh begeder letz. Because at that point, he falls into what's called the letz, a scoffer. Uksiv atuchach letz, pen yisna eka. Mishle says, don't rebuke a letz, don't rebuke a scoffer, a mocker, lest he hate you. Meaning, there is a certain level where if the person shows no interest in changing, and it doesn't mean you don't try to open the, awaken that interest. But if you try to awaken that interest, then it's just not there. He's fallen and he shows no interest whatsoever in doing anything more. Then you're not obligated anymore. You want to go beyond the law and try to do something? Not necessarily something wrong with that. But there is the idea that there has to be something coming from the person. If something is not coming from the person at all, then anyway, it's a person that has no seriousness about it. Then that person you're exempt from rebuking. So again, here from these psukim, the Aruch Chaim again is pointing out our obligation to bring people back to the way. That even in a time of galus, when our connection to Hashem seems distant, we still have the Beis Medrash, the place of Torah, to bring people back. And no matter how far they have fallen, and as much as it seems that it's impossible to bring them back, we have to strive to bring them back. At the same time, says Aruch Chaim, we have to see something from them to be obligated to continue working on them. We have to see something from them that they want to return. If there's absolute, they've fallen, they show no interest whatsoever, then we're exempt. Okay. That's enough remiss for tonight. That's enough homiletic interpretation. I'd like to now focus on this Pasuk Dalet, this mitzvah in Pasuk Dalet. Let's just read it again. Lo yisira es chamar achicha, you shall not see the donkey of your brother, or his ox fallen on the way, v'salamta mehem, and you will turn away from it. Hakim takim ima, you shall surely raise it up with him. So if we just read the pasuk, you see your brother's ox are sure. You see them, they fell over, they fall, they collapsed. And your friend needs help. So you can't ignore it, you got to help him pick him up. So Rashi points out, Hakim takim zuti'ina. This means loading up. Lahatin masui shenafal me'elav, to load up the load that fell off from him. The pasuk itself sounds like the animal itself fell, which is true. But it also includes, if the animal didn't fall, but all the packages that were piled up came tumbling down. And now you see that he needs help to repack the animal. You have a mitzvah to do that. There is a similar mitzvah in Parashas Mishpatim, which is in Shmois, Chaf Gimel Hei. Which is on page 432. Pasuk Dalet. It's the second line from the bottom. Ki sifka shar ayivcha, if you will meet up with the ox of your enemy, oichamayroy, or his donkey toya lost. Oops, hashem teshved alo, you should return it to him. That wasn't the right one. Next, ki sira chamaras v'nacha, when you see the donkey of your enemy, roi v'tzachas masai, squatting under his load, the chadal tamazayvlay, will you refrain from helping him? Ozev kazev ima, you shall surely help him. So in this case, the pasuk describes that the donkey is squatting under its load. The load is too heavy, and the animal goes on strike. So what do you got to do to get the animal going again? You've got to unload the donkey, got to take the stuff off, and then reload it. So here, the context of this pasuk is the mitzvah that's called prika, where the mitzvah is, in order to help the person and get his animal back on the road, you have to unload the packages first, and then reload them. So you've got the mitzvah to unload, you've got the mitzvah to reload, and all the prohibitions that it says not to ignore, help, they all apply to both cases. Just that the Torah, in its narrative, has the context in one case where you are unloading, and in this week's Pasha, it's talking about where you're loading. Okay. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch says, when he talks about this mitzvah, so he says it's talking about where, again, your friend's animal has, the packages have, for the animal has fallen, the packages have fallen, or you see it's falling and he needs help, meaning the animal needs help with the burden that's on it, needs help with the load. The load was on it, the load falls off, you're gonna go ahead and put the load back on. The animal fell down, you can help the animal get up. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, let me just read it to you. Right. Shizharnu she'imnire echa b'Yisrael shenafa lo'ichamoyrei. If we see a Jewish person whose donkey has fallen, or behema acheres, or any other animal, mikayved hamasa, because of the weight of the load, or besiba acheres, or for some other reason, oishu ba'atzmoyrei v'tzachas masai. Forget about the animal. Let's say this person is carrying stuff on him, and it's too heavy. Because of that, he falls. Or he has to basically sit down. He can't move any further. Not to just walk by him and leave him, but rather help him. Help him, lift his animal up with him, and wait there until he's able to fix his load. Oyal gabay, either on top of himself, oyal behemta, or on the animal. What the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us now is that these mitzvahs are not just talking about helping an animal. It includes helping another person. If another person is carrying something and it's too heavy for him to carry, to help him carry it is this mitzvah. So there's a story with Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld of Yerushalayim many years ago, that there was a well near his house, and there was a woman who needed to go to the well to gather water. So she had her kids in tow, small children in tow, and she had a couple of pails. She filled up the pails. Now it's time to take the pails home. The pails were too heavy to carry all at one time, so she carried one pail home, and she left the other kids with the other two pails until she'd come back. Well, those kids decided to try, schlepping the pails themselves, but they couldn't do it. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld saw what was going on, and he walked over to the children. He asked for their address, and he picked up the pails himself and took it to their house. So when he came to the house, father opened the door, and they saw Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was schlepping there the water, and he was just mortified. So Zonnefeld told him, no, look, he says, most adults won't let me carry anything. They won't let me carry anything. I am happy that now I was able to do the mitzvah of helping someone carry a load. I was able to do the mitzvah. That's an example of what the Chinuch is telling us. Then this mitzvah is not just about an animal; it's about a person too. Okay. Okay. Another thing, the Gemara in Baba Metzia says that let's say you come upon two people and they're both having problems with their animal. One animal needs to be unloaded, the other animal needs to be loaded. Which one goes first? What do you think?
Unload.
Why?
You have to help an animal. Take the weight off.
If you're unloading, in the case where the animal needs to be unloaded, you're dealing with an issue called Tsar Bala Chaim. Right? A living thing is suffering. So in the case of where you're unloading, you're basically going to do that first because you want to alleviate the suffering of the animal. Says the Gemara, but if let's say you have that same situation, same scenario. However, the person whose animal needs to be unloaded is your friend. The person whose animal needs to be loaded is not your friend. You don't like him. There, the halacha is, says the Gemara, which animal goes first then? The animal that needs to be loaded. Why? In order to overcome your Yetzirah. Okay, this animal is, even though that other animal is suffering, more important than that is that you should overcome your Yetzirah. Now, I want to ask you, what do you think that means? That it's more, that the Torah is saying, load your enemy's donkey in order to, in order to overcome your Yetzirah. What does that mean? I mean, in essence, no one's saying he's not going to do it. It's a question of which one you should do first, right? It's not a question that, you're not going to do the other one. It's which one are you going to do first? And we say, do that one first to overcome your Yetzirah. What does that mean?
But the problem that I see is, obviously, what if the animal's, literally, almost on its knees, per se?
We'll talk about it in a second. We'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah.
But right now, let's talk about what does that mean, Laka Fasitzray? It's better that you load your enemy's animal first to overcome your Yetzirah. Well, what do you think that means?
Because your first intention would always be to help your friends. So if you go and help the person you don't like as much, it's showing them actual respect.
Okay. Meaning, you shouldn't be that way. You know, you shouldn't. Meaning, if you do the other one first, you're doing it because of your negative feelings of the other person. So basically, the Torah says, no, you do him first. You overcome those feelings and do him first. It's basically a way of saying, overcome, even though you have those negative feelings, don't act upon them, go against them. That's how I always understood it. The Michlam Elio adds another dimension here to what it means to overcome your Yetzirah. And this is the Michlam Elio's famous principle that typically we say that you give to someone you love. You love someone, you give to that person. Michlam Elio says, the truth is that true love comes as a result of giving. To whom you give, you love. You develop love to someone that you give to. Because when you invest in someone else, when you give to someone, you invest in someone else, you basically see something, you see yourself in that person, says the Michtam Eliyahu. Investing of yourself in someone, giving to someone, to a certain degree means that you have extended yourself to yourself. You see yourself in them. And that now creates love, it creates Ahava. And he points this out from a saying of Chazal, Masechta Derech Eretz Zuta, Im Chafetz Ata Lihidavek Ba'avas Chavercha, if you want to cling to the love of your friend, have a Noisei V'Noisei M'Toivasei, be involved in his benefit. You want to have love for a friend? You want to nurture love? You want to create love? You want to build love? Have a Noisei V'Noisei M'Toivasei, be involved in his benefit. People can get together and start off together because of chemistry, whatever it may be. But how that love builds and is nurtured is by way of what you give to the other person. And says the Michtam Elio, that is the meaning here that we say, Lakafas Yitzray, to overcome your Yetzirah. If you will overcome your negative feelings, as we've said, and done that person first, and basically invested yourself in him, you put the effort and you helped him out, you know what you're going to do then? You're going to start liking him. You're going to start liking him. Because when you give to someone, when you invest yourself in someone, you see an extension of yourself in that person, and that creates love. It's more, you know, subconsciously. But that's what he said. That's another level that lies here in when you take care of your enemy, you will overcome your Yetzirah. Not only you overcome your Yetzirah that you're going against the feelings, but those going against the feelings are a greater investment of giving to that person because it's harder to do. And now that you're investing more in him, you actually will be corresponding to that, start creating a love and a liking for him. So it's not just about overcoming bad feelings. It's actually about creating a greater chance to create positive feelings. That's the deeper meaning of what it means, Lakavas Yitzray, to overcome your Yetzirah in this case. Now, as Mordechai pointed out, but what about that poor animal that's suffering? And the answer is that we know that we're not supposed to cause an animal suffering, but we're allowed to slaughter animals, and they don't appreciate it. And the answer is, they don't, you know. And the answer is that, bottom line is that when we have permission to use an animal, then we can use the animal even if it doesn't like it. Now, that doesn't mean that you go crazy on it, you know. You don't do more than you need to do, but if our benefiting from the animal is basically has to cause it suffering, that's not Tzar Bar Lechaim. And therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, if we can do that for our physical needs, all the more so we can do that for our spiritual needs. If we gain by allowing that animal to suffer more, we gain by growing spiritually because of that, so then we have permission to allow the animal to suffer because, again, we're not just doing it to cause it suffering. We're doing it for our benefit. And if this benefit has to be on account of the animal suffering, if we can do it for our physical benefit, we could surely do it for our spiritual benefit. And therefore, There's no problem with Tzar Bala Chaim there. Okay. Now, I want to share with you from the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, an interesting way of, you know, how in his days he saw the practical application of this mitzvah. Okay. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, "V'mdinasenu shenoisim amalicha masa ba'agola." In our countries that we travel and we transport loads on a wagon, v'asasus kosher ba'agola, and a horse is, and the horse is tied to the wagon, impaga ba'agola shenishka berefesh v'tit. If you come upon a wagon that got stuck in the mud, you know, a lot of stories like that about, you know, the wagon's getting stuck in the mud. Mechuyev l'sayei aloha egloin, you're obligated to help the wagon driver lifrei kamasa to take off the load, ulahoitzis agola bahasus, and to extricate the wagon and the horse lemakim yavasha to a dry area. V'zehu mitzvas prika, that will be the fulfillment of prika, unloading in order to help him. V'achakach latina karoi, and then to go ahead and reload it properly. V'chenim nafla hamasa me'agola, if let's say the packages fell off from the wagon, mechayvus seyer lahatinoi, you're obligated to help him reload it. V'zehu mitzvas teina, that's the mitzvah of loading. V'chein in nishbara oifen me'agola, if one of the wheels broke, oy hayat sheha oifen miskalgobay, or the, I don't know what you call it, but the axle, right? Or the axle that the wheel rolls on. And you're obligated to help him and fix it, whatever you can, and to escort him a little bit, he should see that it works properly. This also falls under the mitzvah of loading and unloading. So if you go ahead, so number one, the animal is stuck in the mud, you got to try to help him schlep it out. The packages fall off, reload the packages. The wheel breaks, help him fix it. And after you fix it, don't just like run away. Fix it, make sure that it works, and then you can go on your way. So a more contemporary example of this would be helping someone with a flat tire. Mm-hmm. Help someone with a flat tire, you got a mitzvah, not just the chesed, mitzvah saseh of pre-kotina. You got a positive commandment of that. Just once we're, you know, talking about, you know, animals stuck in the mud, so I just want to share with you a story with that involved Reb Chaim. Actually, it was a mashal for Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And again, it's something important for us to bear in mind. Bear in mind again in Elul, in the time of Tshuva, regarding how we deal with each other. So, I saw that Reb Chaim Volozhiner was asked when Napoleon was going to attack Russia, or when Napoleon was having his campaign in Russia. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner was asked, you know, what did he think? What did he think was going to happen? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner told him, I'm not a Navi, not a prophet, but I'll tell you what I think. And he gave him a parable. That there was one time a nobleman riding in his carriage with his four big stallions, and the animals kind of veered off the road. It was very muddy, and they all got stuck in the mud, couldn't get out. The wagon, the coach driver used his whip, whipped the horses, couldn't go, nothing could happen. A peasant comes by in a wagon with a few little donkeys, and he sees what's going on, and he says, you know, unharness the horses, and my donkeys will get it out. So I was surprised, but, you know, had no other choice. So they took off the horses, they harnessed the donkeys, peasant gave a whip on one of them, and they all start running and churning and churning and churning, and they schlep the carriage out from the mud. So the nobleman is surprised. His big horses couldn't schlep out the coach, but these little animals could. How is that possible? So the peasant says to the man, tell me, where are these horses from? So he said, oh, this horse is from, from this place where they breed horses, and this animal is from here where they breed horses. Every animal is from a different place. So he said, that's your problem. My donkeys are all brothers. And when one of them gets beaten, they all want to help him. Your horses hate each other. If one gets beat, the other ones are happy. They're not really interested in helping. And that's where you couldn't get it out. So Chaim Volozhin has said that it seems that Napoleon's armies were basically a group of people from all the different countries that he conquered, and he put them in an army. They had no loyalty. They couldn't care less for each other. The Russians, on the other hand, are countrymen. They're brothers. And that's a benefit for them. So just a thought about, you know, what the power of Achdus, the power of unity does, and what a lack of unity, you know, the damage it can have.
Done.